Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I am your host, Lance White. Tonight's guest is Dr. Michael P. Mao, Ph.D. Dr. Mao was plucked out of the business world to be awakened and trained in mediumship and channeling by the Great Brotherhood of Light. Having published two novels, synchronicity led him to a psychic who told him that Saint Germain and another master were nearby to answer questions. In one session with a trance medium, he was told he would find opportunity after opportunity to open people's minds to new dimensions, to new possibilities, to the magic in life. He created a website dedicated to the Great Brotherhood of Light called the Sanctus Germanus, prophecies.net, and wrote the two books, the Sanctus Germanus Prophecies, books 1 and 2. At his website, there are many free articles, rare esoteric writings, and podcasts, and the address is www.sanctusgermanus.net. Let's meet Dr. Michael Mao and find out more about his journey. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Fine. Thanks for having me tonight.
Oh, thank you for being here tonight. It's quite a miracle, really, that you're here tonight. I suppose I should tell the listeners that you weren't really scheduled until next week, and it was my goof-up, and you're kind enough to be on the air for an hour with us tonight, and I do really appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome.
I wanted to tell you and the listeners that I really enjoyed reading both of your books and many of your articles on the website. They're just amazing. And I was thinking, you know, for our listeners, maybe you could share a little bit about how your journey evolved. I was reading your story about how things transpired, and it's a fascinating story. It's really interesting. So maybe you could just share a little bit about, what you were doing when you were called and how this all evolved.
Well, you know, I was a businessman in Asia. I was running a trading company, trading medical disposables, of all things, out of Macau and Hong Kong. And I sort of got this call to go back to Hawaii. It's where I was born and raised. And so I just kind of closed up everything, and I don't know really why I did it. Just closed up everything, packed everything into a sea container, and headed for Hawaii, back to Hawaii. And looking back, of course, it all looks like quite a well-planned reason why I had to go back. Because what happened was that I was put in contact with, I think, one of the best trance mediums in the world. And he's no longer a trance medium. And he used to channel, or Sir Arthur Conan Doyle of Sherlock Holmes fame would take over and speak through him. So after I met Arthur Pacheco, who was the medium, I had a series of conversations with Sir Arthur Conan Doyle that were just absolutely fascinating. And it was during these conversations, which took place over a period of 3 to 4 years, that I was gradually drawn in to what Sir Arthur says was my promised mission with the Brotherhood of Light. And that's how it all started.
Arthur Conan Doyle is one of my all-time favorite authors, by the way.
Oh, but he, in his persona, where he is now, in the spiritual, in the mental, the high mental plane of the spiritual zone, he is even more fascinating.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah. I can imagine. I it would be so wonderful to be able to just to have the veil thin and to be able to meet some of these wonderful people. You know, because I think when we incarnate, we have part of our soul is incarnates, and then the majority of our soul is not here, but it's on the other side, as I understand
right.
Now, you went on a trip. Your journey included a trip to a monastery in Darjeeling, which I thought was a fascinating story, too. And that turned out to be a part of the retrieval of a soul fragment. A lot of people and a lot of channels discuss our souls being fragmented and that we're reintegrating our souls. Can you elaborate a bit on this?
Well, I think that soul fragment was being held up in wherever it was, above in Shambhala, I guess, so that I would eventually drop everything and come back to what they considered home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was during that time, that trip, that I went to this monastery, and I went into one of the main rooms where the great guru Padmasambhava is worshipped.
Uh-huh.
And I sort of sat down in meditation, and all of a sudden, things began to happen, that I found myself in the middle of this large hall, surrounded by masters.
Wow.
And I recognized a couple of the masters, but they seemed to stay away from, stay in the circle around me. And then there was a sort of a ceremonial opening of a big door, and out came this figure who was, I think, Sanat Kumara. And there was a sort of a ceremony there where they put something around my neck and sort of a lei of some sort.
Uh-huh.
And it was sort of like a coming home, an initiation of some sort. And then it all sort of faded out, and it just left me stunned there because I wasn't expecting at all such a greeting in this room.
Yeah.
In this monastery.
Wow.
And it was from that point on that I knew I was to work with the Brotherhood of Light. Before that, it was, I had some doubts about it.
Uh-huh.
Even after those wonderful conversations with Sir Arthur and the things that he had told me about my place and my work with the Brotherhood, there was still some doubt. But after I made that trip, it was quite a eye-opener.
Huh.
And it's since then that I sort of devoted my time and life to setting up this portal on the internet. And it's this portal that is supposed to be sort of an opening for the Great White Brotherhood or the Brotherhood of Light, whatever you want to call them.
Right, right.
To filter through messages during this time of transition.
Now, the main time of transition is said to be around 2012, which many of us have kind of come to the same conclusion that that's a magical date. And, of course, the Mayan prophecies, their calendar ends on December 21st. Had you been familiar with the Mayan prophecies at all, or is there anything?
No, I haven't. I wasn't.
Hmm.
Although I queried Sir Arthur about it.
Uh-huh.
And actually, the transition started about 400 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The transition into the New Age, transitions in the universe or in the solar system go on evolutionary time, if you haven't noticed, little by little, step by step. So, actually, I've learned that people talk about a polar shift, and I don't believe it anymore.
I
believe that we have been transiting into this this new age, and we're sort of at the end of a period of transition, which makes it seem like it's faster than usual. But if you look back over the history of mankind over the last 400 years, it's been tumultuous.
Yeah.
There have been wars and all this stuff that's been, roiling has been the transition into the new age. It's coming to a head now.
Yeah, yeah.
I do not think that 2012, there's going to be some great boom or whatever it is. It's going to be sort of like an apex of this transition where perhaps you'll see that the climate is extremely hotter than usual.
Yeah.
And that will cause, even more rapid changes in the poles.
Mm-hmm.
And the melting of the poles, and then you're going to have this rising of the sea levels, which is going to cause massive flooding all over the world. And with the poles melting, the Earth changes shape from an sort of a oval shape to a round shape, and that's what we're going to feel as the so-called polar shift.
Oh.
But it's actually going to take place over quite a period of time. But it is starting already. I mean, we can see the differences in the sea levels and the melting. But what Sir Arthur told me was that the significant thing that we will perceive around 2012 is that the balance between the forces of evil and the forces of good or light is going to shift toward the light. And that's when we're going to be able to look out of our windows and see this incredible... Everything will look brighter, in other words. And we will know then that the destruction of the dark forces before 2012 has reached the point where we know as the force of light we will be the victorious ones.
Well, I certainly hope that you're accurate about that, because I'm telling you, we're just, it seems like we're headed down a very dark a dark alley right now, and I keep telling myself that when I look outside and I don't see chemtrails, you know, for a few weeks, that there's a chance that we've actually made some progress.
Well, it's going to be pretty nasty from now on.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, it's just something that we as humanity have to just live through. It's the gnashing of teeth and the twisting in the sort of a hell that we made because it's karmic.
Yeah.
It's because we didn't put a stop to this earlier.
That's right.
It's going to just have to go through, and we just have to live through this hump until we get over to that other side where it's going to be a lot better for us.
Well, you know, this gets back to the idea that we chose this incarnation because of the level of advancement that it provides, and also many people chose to be here to assist.
Exactly, including ourselves.
Yes, exactly.
That's why we're here.
Yeah. Some go so far as to say that about 70 million light workers or souls from higher dimensions, call it, you know, from the heavenly realms or from ET groupings and so on, or all of the above, came here to help awaken, and many of those are still asleep. They haven't awakened yet themselves.
Well, I don't know. I don't get the feeling there were that many. I would think there's several million.
Yeah, yeah.
But they are, many of them have been veered off the track.
Yes.
Many are fast asleep. Many know their mission and don't want to do anything about it, because something happens once you get into an incarnation like this one. You just get blinded.
Yeah.
And a few are waking up. I would say 1 out of 10 are starting to wake up now and actually have taken a firm stand with their own lives to get on the path and fulfill their mission. But it's been quite I would say a lousy ratio of these enlightened souls that have come back that have really been sideswiped or sidetracked so that they have really not fulfilled what they had promised to do before this incarnation.
Well, you know, you wrote some brilliant stuff in there that I've never read anywhere else about how the astral plane affects us, and how possibly higher dimensional ETs from a higher fourth or fifth dimension are negative polarity, are affecting us from there, and that they've developed an ability quite possibly to incarnate here and create their own mischief. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because, you know, especially you mentioned in groups like sports events and rock music and so on, that they're able to control us en masse.
Well, you see, these ETs are by cosmic law not allowed to enter the Earth. Except certain ETs that work for the Brotherhood of Light, who come in through incarnations,
right?
You know, like babies. Those who hover around the outside have to work through some intermediary, and that intermediary happens to be all the astral shells that are floating around in the astral plane.
Yeah.
These are the shells of people who have died in the past,
uh-huh.
and their souls have moved on, and they've left their astral bodies on the astral plane to sort of gradually disintegrate.
Right.
But what they have done is they've reactivated these astral shells through, I don't know, whatever electrical impulses
uh-huh.
that they can generate from the outer realms. I mean, they're hovering around either in their spaceships or wherever they are. And they have allied themselves with the dark forces that are on Earth today.
Yeah.
And through that manipulation of the astral plane, they have been able to surround certain light bearers, a lot of the light bearers. They can target them, whispering suggestions into their minds,
uh-huh.
just as if it were your own thoughts. All this with the idea of just veering them off the path.
Yeah.
And they are also keeping their groups. What they can do is keep their groups alive on the astral plane
uh-huh.
by encouraging the formation of these huge gatherings of human beings. And these are in the form of sports events, rock concerts, and gurus that have these huge ashrams around India and in other countries. And when these groups of people get together, these astral shells are able to feed on this energy.
Yes.
To keep themselves going rather than going through the process of disintegration that they would normally go through.
Yeah.
But you have a very, very active astral plane going on right now that is just beyond our border of death.
Uh-huh.
And this is why there's so much insanity on the Earth today, because they are so activated by ETs, by the dark forces that are on the Earth, by the sucking up of energies of people. And another way they grab on to energy is to possess people on Earth.
Uh-huh.
They suck out the energy of that, and they keep themselves alive. Well, anyway, this whole mass of astral entities are on the astral plane, agitating right now and causing people to go literally off their rockers.
Yeah, it seems pretty obvious if you just read the newspaper and see all of that going on.
Exactly. And we've only started this process, you know.
It's going to get worse, isn't it?
It's going to get worse,
yeah.
Because in the meantime, the greater forces, the great ones, starting from the planetary logos, It's in solar logos, and there this faster energy is coming through our solar system as we go through what they call the photon belt, which is another sort of like a Milky Way. And this energy is activating everything and making everything go faster.
Yeah.
So as it passes through the astral plane, you can imagine the waves of energy going through there, agitating this astral plane, and then it plays out on Earth.
Yeah.
So you've got this period of insanity that's going on the Earth until the time when they can no longer sustain this higher energy that's coming through, and then they just disappear.
Huh.
And then people will just die. Those who cannot sustain the higher energies on the Earth plane
uh-huh.
will just die, or, you know, go off and just disappear and go off into another evolution.
Well, there goes all the presidents of all the countries.
All the politicians.
The politicians, yeah.
And, you know, you may be joking about it, but they are.
Yeah, it sure seems like they're part of the dark side, doesn't it?
Yeah, but while this is going on, those of us who are working on the side of light have to really, you know, grin and bear it. I mean, it's going to be a tough time. And we ourselves are very sensitive to these higher energies.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, I'm sure you feel it. You
can
feel the agitation in yourself. And you really have to control this thing through, you know, deep meditation and maybe yoga.
Yes, yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right. And, you know, I believe that even expressing negativity is gives that side or that those energies, those lower vibrations, is food for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have to be very careful at the level of thoughts, you know, what we think and what, you know, what our intentions are. Now, in book one of the two set series, the Sanctus Germanus Prophecies, you speak about the events leading up to the year 2012, and you know, which was what we've been talking about. What about Earth changes? What will be some of the things that we might see in terms of the Earth itself changing and shifting around?
Well, the real major Earth changes will not start until after 2012.
Okay.
The ones we see right now are, you could call them quote unquote minor changes.
Yeah.
But they're not. I mean, like the tsunami of 2004.
Yeah.
And look at this earthquake we just had in Sichuan Province in China.
Uh-huh.
And the hurricane that went through Burma. And you have islands in the Pacific that are now being covered up with water.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kiribati and many, many islands along the coast of India also are disappearing because the water's slowly coming up. These are the kind of you'll see earthquakes and, you know, more on a regional basis.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's after 2012 that you're going to see more major shifts. The first major things, of course, is going to be the rising of the sea levels,
right,
which will cause people to have to, you know, and most of the population of the world lives along the sea coast.
Oh, I know.
And there's going to be these massive displacements of people moving up to the hills, and you know, the concomitant conflicts they will come into with the people who are already there.
Yeah, like me.
Yeah. And, well, that's going to be, you know, ongoing for the next couple of centuries.
Yeah.
But the things that are going to happen that will signal that this is really going to happen are the financial things, believe it or not.
Well, we're on the verge right now, the cusp of a financial meltdown, aren't we?
We are right in the middle of a major financial meltdown.
I mean, something
you haven't felt totally yet, but the banks are shaking in their pants.
Oh yeah,
because they are on the verge of collapsing.
They're held together by a hair, aren't they?
They're held together by borrowed, printed money.
Right.
The Federal Reserve is churning out as fast as it can.
Yeah.
And all the banks in the United States, for instance, are required to hold a certain amount of reserves.
Yeah.
None of them have any reserves anymore. And the only reserve that they pretend to have are borrowed funds that come from the paper-making factory called the Federal Reserve.
Right, right.
And so this whole system is just sort of teetering.
Yeah.
On I don't know what, air. It's like toilet paper it's sitting on.
It's really strange because it's almost as if since the major media is controlled and we really don't get accurate information, we're not getting the truth.
No, they're getting lies. In all the statistics coming out of the Bureau of Labor Statistics are just completely skewed and wrong. I mean,
yeah.
Now they're getting down to the point where they're desperate lies.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, for instance, they say the unemployment rate in the States is about 5.5%. It isn't. It's in the 13-14% range now.
That's right. That's right.
So all the statistics that you see, you just double them.
And at some point, it seems that there will be a realization by the masses. It will just have to sink in that this is all a house of cards, right?
Well, that's exactly what you have said. Is exactly what the Brotherhood of Light thinks will happen. Because by shaking up the financial situation, which is controlled, of course, by the dark forces,
right,
you reach into everybody's pockets.
They've been doing that for decades.
Now they're going to take the last cent that you have left in.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're going to leave you standing there, wondering, who's going to help me?
Yeah.
The government is certainly not going to help you.
Well, they're part of the problem.
They're part of the problem.
Right.
So what you have to do is stand on your own. And I think that's the point where most of the people are going to start reevaluating their lives.
Yes, yeah.
And then begin to think, perhaps there's something else besides all this.
Yes.
Perhaps there's a spiritual dimension to all of this. And in this way, they will have to learn, we will have to learn,
right,
how to stand on our own two feet.
Yep.
And either help each other,
yep,
which we don't do now. We let people die on the streets right in front of us.
Yes.
And we help each other, and then there'll be a whole new kind of society that will have to take place if we're going to survive. And that is also, it's curious to think that a financial recession or depression has something to do with earth changes, but that's all part of this huge change that's taking place now. And it's all part of the plan. It's all part of the plan of the great of the spiritual hierarchy, is to push mankind into a position where they now have to sit down and really start thinking where they're going to go.
Yep. That seems absolutely right. You know, we've been throwing bones over our shoulders for, you know, hundreds and thousands of years, and
exactly,
we've reached a point where we've painted ourselves into a corner. We've degraded the planet itself and forgotten that we're connected to it. And it seems that it's going to take something like a major financial meltdown for us to
realize. We don't need any more television sets. We don't need any more SUVs.
Thank you.
We don't need any more.
Thank you.
You
cell
know,
phones.
What else do you need? There's nothing that you really need anymore.
That's right. And that's all manufactured needs anyway. That's
exactly.
All comes from the top down.
Exactly.
It's the eye of the pyramid, and it all has to do with control and manipulation. And we have, you know, played our part well. But it seems like we're going to have to move into our hearts and learn to connect with each other at the heart level and be connected telepathically. And once that, you mentioned that in your books, too, that we will be connected telepathically and that is how we'll communicate.
Yeah, I think it's not only the heart level. The heart is part of a triangle, but at the heart, throat, and mind level.
Right.
That's how we have to connect.
Right.
Because the next step is to sort of de-emphasize the emotional body, which is the astral body.
Right.
And which is the body that is the easiest to control.
Uh-huh.
It is the way that the media controls us. It is the way that which is, of course, controlled by the dark forces.
Right.
And all they have to do is, you know, shout, look, there's a war here, and everybody is running in one direction. It's like the herd mentality.
Yes.
So the astral body has become sort of the instrument of control.
Yes.
So
yes.
What we have to do is now start thinking with our heads, with our minds, and reasoning. Now, is this what I want to happen to me?
Yes.
Rather than just blindly following your emotions and being stirred here and there and actually pushed here and there by hysteria.
Yeah.
So it is, I think, less of the heart, but more of the mind that we're going into.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. That really does. You know, like you said, we've all been manipulated, and in a sense, we live on a prison planet.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that's part of the awakening process, is awakening to the fact that we have been and are prisoners, and that we're not really free.
But that we have the mind power to be free.
Yes, but we're going to have to use it.
Exactly, and that's what we don't use, because we give our minds to the television set.
That's right.
We give our minds to money.
Right.
We give our minds to all these things that are put before us.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like a bait. And this is the way the forces of evil have been able to control us.
That's right.
To keep us,
that's right.
You know,
and we've forgotten that we're spirits. You know, we are
spirit
wrapped in flesh. And that is what's important.
We have God selves that are, you know, completely independent, that are within us.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you mentioned the dark forces, and a lot of people talk about this battle between the light and the dark. Do you find, do you personify that by any particular group, or have you been able to identify, you know, obviously there's a creator behind the divine plan, and the dark forces are part of the creator, so it's all basically one, but is there some personification of the dark forces that you're aware of?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
would you like to talk about that?
These are real people. These are real people who have incarnated on the earth today.
Yeah.
And who have been incarnating over the last centuries. I mean, these are the people that, you know, controlled serfs in the medieval days.
Right.
They had
Genghis Khan.
Genghis Khan, or even the kings and queens that you find in medieval Europe. Where they had these castles and they had these serfs. These slaves, in other words.
Yeah.
Anybody has enslaved the others. Emperors of China, who enslaved these huge masses of people. These are all people that, these are all incarnations that have managed to keep coming up until today.
Yeah.
And these personifications are real. These are bankers in Switzerland.
The Bilderbergs. The Illuminati.
These are families that live in the mountains of Switzerland and in other countries who control money.
Yeah.
And money has been the major part of the control over the earth. I mean, you can't get along without it.
And they own the government.
They own all the government.
Yeah.
They take their cut of all the taxes that are collected.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, they've taken more than their cut, because you see, our government is way in debt. It has nothing.
Yeah.
It has no assets. I mean, it's minus, minus, minus trillions.
Yeah.
So they've drained the coffers of, I think, all the governments of the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's all gone into, that's all been turned into gold and shifted into caves in the Alps.
Yeah.
And
underground facilities.
And underground facilities.
Yeah.
And you wonder, what do they need all this for? What are they going to spend it on?
That's a good question.
What are they going to do with it? Well, what they want to do with it is take humanity with them. They want complete control over you.
Yeah, yeah.
And that fortunately is not in the cards. That they will just go to a certain point, and the vibrations that are coming on the earth today, you know, will take care of them. They will have. They will no longer be able to withstand this. These vibrations, because they are incarnations of the Atlantean race.
Oh yes, yes.
And we are now the fifth root race that is going into the sixth root race, actually. And at least we have, or those who have taken on bodies of the fifth root, the more advanced part of the fifth root race, will be able to withstand the higher vibrations that are descending upon us.
Uh-huh.
They still have the bodies of the lower fifth root races with the fourth root race Atlantean characteristics.
Right, right.
Which is why they are so obsessed with money and warmongering.
Yeah, yeah.
But you see, they cannot withstand these higher vibrations that are coming on us minute by minute. And, you know, one of these days they'll just give it up. Blow up. Maybe they'll implode.
Let's hope so.
And that is what's going to happen around 2012.
Ah, wonderful, wonderful.
So it's quite close. It's right around the corner. And you see what's happening. Their banking system is falling apart.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see more and more of their colleagues being tossed aside.
Yes, absolutely. And unfortunately, the impact is the domino effect has a lot of impact on the food chain, and of course the gas prices they haven't even begun to hit the top yet, I don't think.
Oh no, those
are higher. They're just starting.
You know, just expect in the next couple of years you'll be paying $10 a gallon for your gas.
Well, you know, all of that free energy has existed for decades. And all of that technology, it's been documented, has been suppressed by, again, the people that are at the top of the food chain. We've been kept in a kind of prison state.
Exactly.
You know, and gas mileage even 10, 20 years ago was better than it is now. So,
mm-hmm.
all of the opportunity to transform this planet have been held back from us, so that these people can retain the power. But you know, at some point, that's got to give, as you said.
But I think also the populations of the Earth have been also they have been cooperating with them.
Well, that's right.
They've
that's
been
right.
buying these big SUVs.
Well, that's right.
And you know, consuming energy like it's unfathomable.
That's right. That's right.
And now I think that the jig's up, and it's back to conserve and pull back.
Yes. Yes.
You don't need 5 TV sets. You don't need 3 cars. You don't need all this stuff. And I see people sloughing off all this stuff already.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. No question about it. And it seems like we're going to be needing to reassess forming small communities where we live and getting together with people of like mind to solve problems and to help one another, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this is really where it's going to have to occur. It's going to be a grassroots thing, and it's going to be a transformation from the bottom, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But now, in 2012, your other book, which is part 2, Sanctus Germanus Prophecies, book 2, you write about what happens from 2012 on. So there's a whole process that we're going to be going through in the future, according to the Brotherhood of Light. Mm-hmm. You want to share a little bit about that part?
Well, after this collapse of the financial system and we go into a deep depression, and we start learning, better values, the good old human values again.
Right.
And just when you're beginning to feel nice and comfortable, then the Earth starts shaking up.
Oh, great. Wonderful.
Then you have these major changes in the geological makeup of the Earth.
Oh, great.
But, most of us, who are alive today probably will never see the end of it because it's a gradual process.
Yeah.
But what I did do was that I signaled certain areas of the Earth that are going to be fairly safe, where people can actually move to if they want to be involved in building the beginnings of the new age.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is experimentation with a lot of ways of living that we weren't allowed to do during this time of money control.
Right, right.
What we were told on the media was this is the way you're supposed to live. You're supposed to live like this, this, and this, and this is what you want, etc. But what we should do is go back. We will go back into the higher areas. And, places like where I live in Calgary, Denver, up in the mountains, these will be areas that will be fairly untouched by the earth changes. And there are other areas in the world, too.
Right.
Anything above 150 feet, I'm told, will be safe. But there will be areas that will be even more enlightened because they are sort of spotlighted by the Brotherhood of Light as being potential areas of great spiritual advancement.
How does Northern California fare? That's the general area where I am, in the Sierra Nevada.
Well, it depends on how high you are.
About 2,000 feet.
Yeah, well, that's okay. But what they told me, it would be up in the Rockies, the Canadian Rockies on
okay.
this side,
all right.
as well as the Colorado Plateau. But those will be areas that will be fairly, I think that's where these very spiritual groups will spring up.
Right.
And you'll have quite advanced spiritual communities in these areas.
You know, that would be such a wonderful treat to have, just to be able to commune. I remember when I was a kid, a teenager, and I used to be involved with communes and things. And, as silly as it all sounds today, there was something about all of that. Working together with other people and exploring and consciousness raising. And I think that's something that's completely been dropped out of our lives.
Well, unfortunately, it came at a time where the forces of darkness are still very strong.
Oh, yeah.
They just literally blasted them out of existence and got them back on the old materialistic track.
Yes.
But I think those values are very much alive in people like you.
Yeah.
And they can be rekindled in these areas where you know, people will be forced to do this because we won't have Safeways and these big supermarkets, because I think all these massive market distribution networks are going to be broken up.
Oh, I hope so.
If not financially, by geographical changes.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because we're headed towards Acme Corporation running the world.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
it's
those
very
things
clear.
Are all, they're all doomed.
Yeah, good, good. Now, you mentioned about some of these weather things that are going on, but, you know, it's also common knowledge that the major governments have the ability to control and manipulate weather and have for some decades now. How do we know the difference between what's being created as part of a weather war?
Well, you see, I've never really believed that.
You don't? Oh, okay.
No, I know, you know, they have a limited ability to seed clouds and cause rainstorms and stuff like that. But I think the wild card in this whole thing is still in the hands of the Brotherhood. They're the ones that can move the storms around.
Yeah.
And I think if they're so strong, why didn't they stop Katrina?
Well.
And if they're so strong, why didn't they stop this earthquake that happened in China?
Maybe they created it.
I don't know why they would create something like that.
I don't know either.
Why would they do something like that?
Well, maybe the Chinese threatened them about dumping some of their bonds, and they created an earthquake to say, well, screw you.
Well,
you never
know that area that got hit is
yeah.
where all the missiles and the space program for China is located. So it could have been, I don't know, even scientists are saying that that's really not a place where earthquakes normally happen.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big question mark. But I'd like to see them stop one of these hurricanes coming through.
Well, that's true. That's true.
I don't think they're that powerful. In fact, I think that's the trump card of the Brotherhood.
I hope so.
That's the way they're going to show people how powerless their governments really are.
Yeah, I hope so.
What siphons and parasites they really are instead of helping the people.
Yes, yes.
They're very good at collecting taxes. But by golly, if you ask them to, give these poor people who are floating around in boats after being washed away, give them a decent place to sleep, they can't do that.
Yeah. That's got to change. There's no question about that. None whatsoever. One thing that I, what was I going to ask you about just now? It was about the, well, I seem to have lost that thought, so it'll either come back or it won't. How do we know that, you mentioned in some of your journeys, you were, that the astral plane has the ability to dazzle and to befuddle and to feed our egos and the rest of it. How do we verify that we're aligning with higher density vibrations and not being influenced by these upper or lower fourth density shells or entities?
Well, that takes two things, or maybe three things.
Mm.
First, you've got to do some study on yourself, by yourself, and really learn from the literature that's already available. There's a lot of stuff in the Theosophical Works, a lot of stuff that we have put on our website, just so that you know what the masters actually do
uh-huh.
and how they act. And what they deal with. When you wake up in the morning, the period between coming out of sleep and taking consciousness of your bedroom, that is a very vulnerable period. A little time period right there where these astral entities get in there and start suggesting things about how your day is going to be.
Uh-huh, yes.
This is going to be a lousy day. Why do you want to wake up? You know, you don't want to do this. You don't want to do that.
I had that today.
Oh, yeah, sure. Every single day they'll try it.
Yeah.
And the thing is to be, when you know from your study what the forces of light would do, they would never say things like this.
That's right. That's right.
And you have to put your foot down and say, hey, wait a minute. analyze yourself and say, where did those ideas come from? Did they come from me? No, why would I want to say things like that to myself? Of course not. You're not saying it to yourself because it's coming from an exterior source.
Right.
And all you do is say, get out. Scat. Out. And you'll find that your whole attitude just kind of changes. Then go to the window and look at a nice tree. Look at the flowers outside, and you'll realize that all those negative suggestions came from none other than the astral plane, and you don't have to have anything to do with them.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, there's meditation. You've got to do daily meditation. And we have a method that we put up on the website, which I find very, very helpful, especially for light bearers, those who are trying to wake up. And I think going deeply into yourself and visiting regularly the soul that's within is invaluable to keeping your stability during this period of time.
I love your website, by the way. There's so much. There's some wonderful articles there, free articles to read, and they're very elucidating. There's some terrific podcasts that you've done. And
have you listened to some of the discourses by Sir Arthur?
You know, I don't think I might not have.
Go to the current messages, and there are a lot of these that I put up that I recorded while we were talking.
Oh, okay.
And you'll see his character. It's just wonderful.
Oh, I'd love to. Yes, yeah. That's great. And the other thing that you have, which is very unusual, is you have free downloads of some very powerful esoteric works that are almost impossible to find.
Right.
It's a really terrific website. And I just want to say again, it's www.sanctusgermanus.net. And we'll mention that again at the end of the show. But I just want people to be sure and, you know, write that down and go check it out and explore and see what resonates.
Now, I have to tell you that this website is designed to wake up the light bearer.
Uh-huh.
And that's what it is. It's sort of a meeting point for them. You know, all those, I told you, 1 out of 10 is right now waking up. And this is for the other 9 also.
Yeah.
To, you know, sort of go there and see whether it rings any bells in your soul that gets you moving and you know, up and moving. Because what the challenges we have to meet in the future, and the very near future, and I'm meaning within months, it's really necessary to have as many light bearers aware of what's going on and helping the whole worldwide cause.
Speaking of a few months from now, this is going to be a critical time in terms of the elections are coming. Supposedly Bush is going to leave office, maybe kicking and screaming. And what do you see any, do you have any insight as to what might some of the possibilities that are coming up in the next few months or so?
Well, I have a very sinister scenario in front of me. And, you know, this is something that I have that I've been feeling for a while. But
yeah.
I kind of hate to put this on the air, but I'll do it anyway.
All right.
I just think something big is going to happen between now and the elections.
Yeah.
And it may be, you know, something in the Middle East. You're hearing hints here and there about something to do with Israel and Iran.
Yeah.
And I think something is about to blow up there or here.
Yeah.
And that is to force the direction of the elections toward the Republicans again.
Well, of course.
To McCain, who is a warmonger.
Yep.
And who is, you know, who will do exactly what the dark forces want, because they want more war. Because
right.
That is the way they're going to do their last dastardly deeds to the earth.
Yep.
And if that doesn't happen and Obama gets elected, he will have to do what they tell him to do.
Yep, yep.
He does not have the freedom he thinks he has.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he will end up like John F. Kennedy.
That's right, that's right. You hit the nail on the head.
And I think that whoever gets in this election is going to have to toe the line, because the United States is so in debt.
Yep.
It's in trillions of dollars.
Yep.
And it's those who are holding the debt that are calling the shots.
Yeah. Well, that
it's as simple as that.
Well, a lot of the debt's held by China, isn't it?
Well, they say it's held by China and
but
Japan.
But ultimately, it's the bankers.
Ultimately, it's the bankers in Switzerland.
Yeah. Yeah, you got that right.
Doesn't sound like a great future for us, right?
Well, but apparently this is stuff that either has to happen or...
It has to happen.
It
does
happen.
It has to go.
Something has to happen. Well, you know, there's so many people that now believe that 9-1-1 was a false flag event, which was designed for several reasons. One, it was a big bank robbery. Trillions of dollars disappeared under the cracks. But also that, look what it did for the Republican Party.
Well, I asked Sir Arthur... Right after 9/11, because that's about the time we had started our conversations. And he said, "Sir, I can just tell you this: 9/11 was the greatest act of treason.
Yes,
that you can imagine could have happened.
Yep,
and that's all he could tell me. So you can draw your conclusions from that. He says it came from within.
Oh, I have no doubt about that whatsoever. Well, you know,
and there you got it from the top guys up there upstairs.
Yeah.
Who were.
Oh, I believe it. You know, that's what happens when you tune into your own intuition.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you realize that all the light workers and the people who, you know, don't use labels, you know, that are just intuitively tapping into higher knowledge, I think we're beginning to be able to access more of the truth. And if not, we're at least able to tell what is not truth.
Exactly.
We may not.
That, I think, people have that ability right now. They don't want to hear any more of these lies coming through
the
media. And they just tune them out or just say, you know, BS.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's a wonderful first step toward thinking for yourself.
Absolutely. And like you said, turn off the television set and stop watching it.
Turn it off. Because not only is it, you know, filling you with a lot of lies, it is, as Sir Arthur told me, it is calibrated to send off electronic waves to numb you.
Absolutely.
No, it's true.
It does.
That's what it was built that way.
Yeah.
As an instrument of propaganda.
Yep.
And if you travel anywhere in the world, you will see a TV set sitting there.
Yeah, even in a teepee.
In a teepee, or in some of the remotest areas.
Yeah.
A television set, and that's how they get to you.
Oh, absolutely. You're so right about that one. So, now the Brotherhood must be working with other people besides yourself. And,
oh, of course.
They don't put all their eggs in one basket. But you're developing this website as one of the portals. What's your goal with the website now? Do you have a direction, or are you just kind of, what are they telling you, directing you to do?
Well, I think much of it will involve advice in a most neutral way of how to face the turmoil we're up against.
Okay, good.
Already we've given out advice of where some of the safe areas in the world are to go to. We've sort of suggested that this is the year to really make some definite plans. Not to just sit around and wait for something to happen, because that'll be too late then.
That's right.
That's
right.
They give us, you know, years ahead of time some advice to, you know, wouldn't that be better to be a little higher than sea level? I think one of the major things is for the light workers to start really seriously thinking of displacing themselves.
Yeah.
And moving into areas that are safer.
Yeah.
Where they can set up shop and have plans of their own to take care of whatever happens, the influx of people coming into those areas.
Oh, yeah.
Or even to start opening up centers where they can practice healing or, you know, all the things that light workers would do.
Right.
To alleviate the suffering that's coming up.
Well, more will be revealed as the veils thin a little bit, I would think. And
exactly.
As we're intuiting more connected to our own soul and higher self.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, this is we're almost at the end of the hour, and I am so glad that you were able to do the show tonight. In fact, since you're scheduled for next week, if you still want to do next week, we can do next week too. I think people would love to hear more from you.
Well, you better find out first what the reaction to all this is first.
All right, I will.
I've got next week open.
Okay.
You're on the calendar there, but
well,
I thought...
because we could do part two. I mean, it seems like
sure.
We could just, you know, I really enjoy hearing from you, and I love your information. And would you just mention before we close what your website is again so that people can find it and how to get your books and so on?
Yeah, well, the website is called www.sanctus. That's S-A-N-C-T-U-S. G-E-R-M-A-N-U-S, sanctusgermanus.net. And from there, you will be, you know, you can go to our bookstore and get the books if you want to, or you can read the messages that have come from the Brotherhood. And that's on the current messages page. And you can just, you know, go through it. There's thousands of pages on that website.
It's a wonderful site, Michael, and I certainly appreciate all the work you're doing, and you're just an amazing person. And thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Okay,
and
thanks
we'll probably
for having
talk
me.
Again next week for part two.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks again. Good
Bye.
Night.